The reading tonight is on page 768 of the Church Bibles. We're going to read Jeremiah chapter 7 through to verse 3 of chapter 8. The word that came to Jeremiah from the Lord: stand in the gate of the Lord's house and proclaim there this word and say, hear the word of the Lord, all you men of Judah who enter these gates to worship. Thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, amend your ways and your deeds, and I will let you dwell in this place. Do not trust in these deceptive words. This is the temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord. For if you truly amend your ways and your deeds, if you truly execute justice one with another, if you do not oppress the sojourner, the fatherless, or the widow, or shed innocent blood in this place, and if you do not go after other gods to your own harm, then I will let you dwell in this place, in the land that I gave of old to your fathers forever. Behold, you trust in deceptive words to no avail. Will you steal, murder, commit adultery, swear falsely, make offerings to Baal, and go after other gods that you have not known? And then come and stand before me in this house, which is called by my name, and say, we are delivered, only to go on doing all these abominations. Has this house, which is called by my name, become a den of robbers in your eyes? Behold, I myself have seen it, declares the Lord. Go now to my place that was in Shiloh, where I made my name dwell at first, and see what I did to it because of the evil of my people Israel. And now, because you have done all these things, declares the Lord, and when I spoke to you persistently, you did not listen, and when I called you, you did not answer, therefore I will do it to the house that is called by my name, and in which you trust, and to the place that I gave to you and your fathers, as I did to Shiloh. And I will cast you out of my sight, as I cast out all your kinsmen, all the offspring of Ephraim. As for you, do not pray for this people, or lift up a cry or prayer for them, and do not intercede with me, for I will not hear you. Do you not see what they are doing in the cities of Judah and in the streets of Jerusalem? The children gather wood, the fathers kindle fire, and the women knead dough to make cakes for the Queen of Heaven. And they pour out drink offerings to other gods to provoke me to anger. Is it I whom they provoke, declares the Lord? Is it not themselves to their own shame? Therefore, thus says the Lord God, behold, my anger and my wrath will be poured out on this place, upon man and beast, upon the trees of the field and the fruit of the ground. It will burn and not be quenched. Thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, add your burnt offerings to your sacrifices and eat the flesh. For in the day that I brought them out of the land of Egypt, I did not speak to your fathers or command them concerning burnt offerings and sacrifices, but this command I gave them: obey my voice, and I will be your God, and you shall be my people. And walk in all the way that I command you, that it may be well with you. But they did not obey me or incline their ear, but walked in their own counsels and the stubbornness of their evil hearts, and went backwards and not forwards. From the day that your fathers came out of the land of Egypt to this day, I have persistently sent all my servants, the prophets, to them, day after day. Yet they did not listen to me or incline their ear, but stiffened their neck. They did worse than their fathers. So you shall speak all these words to them, but they will not listen to you. You shall call to them, but they will not answer you. And you shall say to them, this is the nation that did not obey the voice of the Lord their God and did not accept discipline. Truth has perished, just cut off from their lips. Cut off your hair and cast it away. Raise a lamentation on the bare heights, for the Lord has rejected and forsaken the generation of his wrath. For the sons of Judah have done evil in my sight, declares the Lord. They have set their detestable things in the house that is called by my name to defile it. And they have built the high places of Topheth, which is in the valley of the son of Hinnom, to burn their sons and their daughters in the fire, which I did not command, nor did it come into my mind. Therefore, behold, the days are coming, declares the Lord, when it will no more be called Topheth or the Valley of the Son of Hinnom, but the Valley of Slaughter, for they will bury it in Topheth, because there is no room elsewhere. And the dead bodies of this people will be food for the birds of the air and for the beasts of the earth, and none will frighten them away. And I will silence in the cities of Judah and in the streets of Jerusalem the voice of mirth and the voice of gladness, the voice of the bridegroom and the voice of the bride, for the land shall become a waste. At that time, declares the Lord, the bones of the kings of Judah, the bones of its officials, the bones of the priests, the bones of the prophets, and the bones of the inhabitants of Jerusalem shall be brought out of their tombs, and they shall be spread before the sun and the moon and all the host of heaven, which they have loved and served, which they have gone after, and which they have sought and worshipped. And they shall not be gathered or buried. They shall be as dung on the surface of the ground. Death shall be preferred to life by all the remnant that remains of this evil family in all the places where I have driven them, declares the Lord of hosts. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Good evening. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, and we thank you for the enormous privilege of hearing your word. And we pray, please would you help us to hear your word as you intend. And please would you challenge us in the ways that you want to challenge us. And please would you encourage us in the ways that you want to encourage us. In Jesus' name and for your glory. Amen. 3 million people go to church each Sunday in the UK. They make sacrifices for God. They give up part of their weekend to worship him. So surely God must be happy with them, right? I mean, why would God judge religious people? This is the church of God. The church of God. The church of God. Surely God wouldn't judge people who come to his church to worship him. Surely God wouldn't condemn any of us here who come to this church to worship him. Well, the people of Judah in 600 BC were asking just that question. You see, they went regularly to the Lord's temple. They offered God sacrifices. They gave up time and money to worship him. So surely the Lord must have been happy with them, right? It was the temple of the Lord. The temple of the Lord. The temple of the Lord. Surely the Lord wouldn't condemn people who went to his temple to worship him. I mean, why would God judge religious people? Well, through these words of Jeremiah, God is going to tell us why. According to chapter 7 and verse 2, God told Jeremiah to stand in the gate of the Lord's house and proclaim there this word. Now, the other week, I was stood in the doorway of a church. I was there to welcome people and politely ask them to fill up from the front row. And even then, some of those entering to worship God were a little offended that I'd asked them to sit further forward than they wanted to. Well, can you imagine people entering the doors of the temple at the beginning of the service, coming in to worship the Lord, and standing in the doorway, Jeremiah tells them why God condemns them? I'm sure they were more than a little offended. I mean, why would God judge religious people? And well, the first part of our answer is this: because religion is not obedience to God. Religion is not obedience to God. This is the word that came to Jeremiah from the Lord, as it's written at the start of chapter 7. Stand in the gate of the Lord's house and proclaim there this word and say, hear the word of the Lord, all you men of Judah who enter these gates to worship the Lord. Thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, amend your ways and your deeds, and I will let you dwell in this place. And do not trust in these deceptive words. This is the temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord. Because mere religion is not obedience to God. You must amend your ways and your deeds. Catholic priests who molest helpless children and then come to church to lead the Mass are not obeying God. Church of England ministers who abuse vulnerable people and then come to church to teach the Bible are not obeying God. Religious people who have no concern for the needy, who lie through their teeth, who show racial discrimination, and then come to church to worship, are not obeying God. Has this house, which is called by my name, become a den of robbers in your eyes? Behold, I myself have seen it, declares the Lord, according to verse 11. Peaky Blinders, a criminal gang set in 1920s Birmingham, are led by Thomas Shelby. They steal, murder, swear falsely, and then come together in the Shelby family home and think that they're safe. They hope that they've got away with it. Well, has God's house become a den of robbers in your eyes? Do you do just whatever you want the rest of the week and then come to church on Sunday and think that you're safe, hoping that you've got away with it? Well, God sees, God knows, and mere religion is not obedience to God. Ruth and I used to live in Italy, and the cities were full of churches. The streets were lined with statues of Mary. Men, women, and children would all engage in ceremonies and rituals. Italy is a very religious country. But religion is not obedience to God. And do you not see what they're doing in the cities of Judah and in the streets of Jerusalem, says the Lord, according to verse 17? The children gather wood, the fathers kindle fire, and the women knead dough to make cakes for the Queen of Heaven. And they pour out drink offerings to other gods to provoke me to anger. False religion is certainly not obedience to God. Italy might be very religious, but praying to Mary as the Queen of Heaven is false religion, which the Lord has not commanded. It's like chanting to Vishnu or worshipping Allah. It's man-made religion, and it provokes God to anger. False religion is certainly not obedience to God. When God gave Israel the Ten Commandments, he didn't just want them to be religious and offer sacrifices. But, as it's written in verse 23, this command I gave them, obey my voice, and I will be your God, and you shall be my people. But mere religion is not obedience to God. False religion is certainly not obedience to God. And such religion can lead to the most despicable evil. For the sons of Judah have done evil in my sight, declares the Lord, according to verse 30. They have set their detestable things in the house that is called by my name to defile it. And they have built the high places of Topheth, which is in the valley of the son of Hinnom, to burn their sons and their daughters in the fire, which I did not command, nor did it come into my mind. Mere religion, false religion, can lead to the most despicable evil. ISIS have killed Christians in service of Allah, but the people of Judah were burning their own children. Not that the Lord had told them to do that, or even considered it, but false religion can lead to the most despicable evil. They were sacrificing their children. Now, we might find this hard to imagine. You might not be able to conceive of people sacrificing their children to a god. But child sacrifice still happens every day in this country. There were over 200,000 abortions in England and Wales in 2021 alone. Carla Foster illegally aborted her child around 33 weeks into pregnancy. That child would have had a 95% chance of survival at that stage. And the public's response to Miss Foster's arrest shows that the desire to abort babies at any stage is still alive and kicking in the UK. Now, sometimes the situations are genuinely very complicated if the mother's life is at risk. Sometimes there are genuinely hard decisions to make where great gentleness and kindness are required. and sometimes the mother is forced into it against her will. But the vast majority are sacrificing their children to avoid embarrassment or inconvenience. They're sacrificing their children to the god of this age, to the god of their own so-called freedom and autonomy. But the Lord calls us to love the helpless, the vulnerable, and the needy. And the most helpless of all is the unborn child. It is the most despicable evil that is being perpetrated. Abortion is child sacrifice. Now, if you're listening and you've had or encouraged an abortion, that maybe you were pressured into it, or maybe you just recognize now that it was wrong and you're ready to confess it, well, there is a way that you can be fully forgiven. All your guilt and your shame can be taken away, and we'll hear about that a bit later. But let none of us think that our religion, secular or otherwise, can justify the evil we've done in our lives or cover it up. Mere religion, false religion, and the evil that it leads to will end in the judgment of God. Therefore, behold, the days are coming, declares the Lord, according to verse 32, when it will no more be called Topheth, or the valley of the son of Hinnom, but the valley of slaughter. For they will bury in Topheth, because there is no room elsewhere. And because of this false religion and despicable evil, God will bring such devastating judgment on the earth that there'll be no room to bury all the dead bodies. Countless millions of people will go to hell because of the despicable evil perpetrated on this earth and because of the ways people have tried to justify it or cover it up with religion, secular or otherwise. Why would God judge religious people? Because mere religion isn't obedience to God. A false religion certainly isn't obedience to God, and it can lead to the most despicable evil. That was Jeremiah's message, which he gave in the gate of the Lord's house. It wasn't a popular one, as I'm sure you could have guessed. But how are we going to respond to this message, to this word that came to Jeremiah from the Lord? How are you going to respond? Well, fools won't return to God. And that's our second heading. Fools won't return to God. Jeremiah was to say to them, according to chapter 8 and verse 4, thus says the Lord, when men fall, do they not rise again? If one turns away, does he not return? Why then has this people turned away in perpetual backsliding? They hold fast to deceit. They refuse to return. Fools won't return to God. I play tennis, and I often fall over or dive for the ball. Ruth likes to say that I throw myself on the ground. But I always get up again. And my parents and I, we used to get lost pretty regularly, especially following one of my mum's infamous shortcuts. But we'd always make our way home, eventually. Yet fools won't return to God. They won't get up again. They won't make their way home. They hold fast to deceit. They refuse to return. Especially if someone is religious and thinks that they're a good person, they won't return to God. They won't admit that they need to. I've paid attention, the Lord says, according to chapter 8 and verse 6, and I've listened, but they've not spoken rightly. No man relents of his evil, saying, what have I done? Everyone turns to his own course, like a horse plunging headlong into battle. Fools won't return to God because they won't admit that the course they've chosen in life is the wrong one. Especially if they're religious, they won't admit the evil that they've done. So they won't turn back to God. When I was at school, I went to watch War Horse in the theatre. Ruth prefers the film to the play, but either way, like a horse plunging headlong into battle with no intention of changing direction, so fools plunge headlong into their evil way of life and they won't return to God. Is that how you're going to respond to Jeremiah's message and to this word that came to Jeremiah from the Lord? Will you refuse to return to God because you refuse to admit that you've turned away from him? Will you fail to return to God because you won't admit the evil that you've done in your life? Each September, white storks fly south to spend the winter months in Africa, and then they return to Europe for the summer. Dumb birds know when it's time to return, but foolish people don't know when it's time to return to God. And so how are we going to respond to Jeremiah's message and to this word that came to Jeremiah from the Lord? Well, fools won't return to God, but the wise mourn sin and boast in the Lord. And that's our final heading. The wise mourn sin and boast in the Lord. Who is the man so wise that he can understand this? Jeremiah asks, according to chapter 9 and verse 12. To whom has the mouth of the Lord spoken that he may declare it? Why is the land ruined and laid waste like a wilderness so that no one passes through? And the Lord says, because they have forsaken my law that I set before them and have not obeyed my voice. The wise mourn sin because they understand why the world is ruined. And they probably didn't teach you this at school. Geographers might understand how droughts happen. Historians might understand how wars can start. Economists might understand how poverty strikes. Biologists might understand how people die. But the wise understand why the world is ruined. The wise understand that the world is under the judgment of God because of our sin. Because we've forsaken God's law and not obeyed his voice. And so we should mourn. Rather than refusing to return to God because we won't admit our evil, we should mourn our sin and the judgment we deserve. Thus says the Lord of hosts, according to chapter 9 and verse 17, consider and call for the mourning women to come. Send for the skillful women to come. Let them make haste and raise a wailing over us, that our eyes may run down with tears and our eyelids flow with water. I wept uncontrollably at the funeral of two of my friends, but we can be slow to mourn our sin, can't we? So God is calling for wise women to teach us how to weep over our sin. Now, it's possible that you might have misunderstood me earlier. I said that religion is not obedience to God, and you might have thought that in order to be obedient to God, we just need to do what's good and right in all of our life, all of the time. And in a sense, that is what God wants, but we all fail to do that, don't we? We've all done evil in our lives. We're all sinners. But the wise mourn sin. That's the difference between wise and foolish people. It's not that the wise have never done evil, but that the wise repent of the evil that they've done. The wise mourn sin. I've sometimes cried over the evil that I see inside of myself. I've wept over the judgment that I deserve and the judgment that I know is coming on people whom I love. And I expect we should learn to mourn our sin more than we do. But that's not all that we should do. Because not only do the wise mourn sin, they also boast in the Lord. Thus says the Lord, according to chapter 9 and verse 23. Let not the wise man boast in his wisdom. Let not the mighty man boast in his might. Let not the rich man boast in his riches. But let him who boasts boast in this, that he understands and knows me, that I am the Lord who practices steadfast love, justice, and righteousness in the earth. For in these things I delight, declares the Lord. And the wise mourn sin and boast in the Lord. Atheist Steven Pinker is a professor of psychology at Harvard University. Pope Francis has power over 1.3 billion Catholics in the world. Elon Musk is worth $180 billion. But wisdom, might, and riches in the world won't count for anything before God on Judgment Day. How much did he leave was asked of a rich man at his funeral. All of it was the answer. When we stand before God in the dock on Judgment Day, the appearance of wisdom won't fool God. A power and might won't influence him. Riches won't buy him off. Stephen Pinker and Stephen Fry won't be able to argue with God. The Pope won't be able to rely on his religious influence. Elon Musk won't be able to pay for a good enough lawyer. Our only hope on Judgment Day is the Lord. The Lord who practices steadfast love, justice, and righteousness. Because the Lord loves sinners and is willing to forgive all who truly repent. If we confess our sins, the Lord is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Our only hope on Judgment Day is the Lord. The wise boast only that they know the Lord. Don't boast in anything about yourself. Don't trust in your religious activity. They won't save you from God's judgment. The wise boast only that they know the Lord. And so can I ask you, do you know him? You might be very religious, but I want to ask you, do you know the Lord? Because his name is Jesus. And I know that God won't condemn me. And my only confidence, my only hope, my only boast is the Lord Jesus Christ. And I confess that I'm a sinner. And I deserve to be condemned. But Jesus is the Lord who practices steadfast love, justice, and righteousness. And when he died on the cross for our sins, Jesus demonstrated his love for sinners. He showed his justice and he revealed the righteousness of God. And so let's boast only in the Lord Jesus Christ and in what he has done for us. Let's not boast in our religious activity and nor in anything about ourselves, because Jesus is the Lord who condemns mere religion, which is false religion. Jesus condemned the religious hypocrites in Jerusalem and the temple which had become a den of robbers, because Jesus saves us apart from anything that we do. Our so-called wisdom, might, and riches count for nothing. Jesus died on that cross for all our sins, and that's how he saves us. If we do boast in our wisdom, might, or riches, it shows that we don't understand him or know him. But whoever we are, and whatever we've done, however weak and pathetic we feel, if we simply believe in Jesus, if we boast only in the Lord, then we will be saved. Then all our guilt and shame are taken away. Why would God judge religious people? Because mere religion isn't obedience to God. A false religion certainly isn't obedience to God. And it can lead to the most despicable evil. So, as evil sinners, like we are, how are we going to respond to this word of the Lord? How are you going to respond? Well, fools won't return to God. But the wise mourn sin and boast in the Lord.